Are you seeking satisfaction in a substance you get by in life? Is that taking its toll on you and you want out? Your search ends here on GNCR 93.6 FM. Stay tuned for Heart to Heart with Mike Hottie, a conversation that can change your life.
Welcome to another session. It's with myself, Mike Hartie, and in studio I have with me Ivan. Welcome, Ivan.
Thanks, Mike, and good evening to all the listeners out there.
This week, with Ivan, it's what I have actually called, I'm not sure whether it's absolutely correct, that it's more like a reverse testimony. And of course, with myself, Ivan, from Irish background, many people understand where I might be coming from with that. But what we going to be sharing tonight, and what Ivan's going to be sharing, is a situation where a person faces many challenges, many hardships, many distresses that might come into our life, and how do we deal with such a situation, where in many times the obvious thing there would be, well, I'm just going to drown my sorrows, I'm going to drink the problem away, and many people unfortunately resort to that. And so tonight we're going to actually look at how do we actually approach life when these challenges, and they can be life-changing challenges, actually affect us. Ivan, you are a businessman. You've been in business, but at the moment are not working.
That's right, Mark. You know, I think life has ups and downs. Currently not working. I think a couple of years ago I was retrenched, and that's absorbed a lot of what I had in place in terms of looking after myself. But currently haven't been working for a couple of months, and feeling the pinch, as I think anybody would.
Okay, that's a natural situation. But also there's personal issues and problems that you're facing as well around the family as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, unfortunately, in life, we all get chucked these curveballs. Mm-hmm. apologies for that. We get chucked these curveballs. Mm. Currently, from a relational perspective, I have, to put it mildly, some huge, huge challenges in the home life. And,
Well, I think of the scripture there where the Lord said that in John 16, verse 33, the last part of the verse, the Lord Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. But he doesn't just leave it there. The last sentence of that verse is comforting. He says, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And I think this is it. The Lord never ever said that coming to him and having a relationship with him would be an easy and a smooth experience for the rest of our lives. But he did promise he would be with us along the way.
Absolutely. Mark, I firmly believe that. You know, Christ is in us. And whether you choose to accept that or not is entirely up to you. Mm-hmm. And doesn't matter what you face in life. You can't control the outside circumstances, but you can control what you're experiencing on the inside. Mm-hmm. And it's just keeping focus on what's inside you, and what's inside of us is the Spirit of God.
That's right. That's the important thing. I think there is, the Lord has said to us that he'll always be with us. He'll never ever leave us or forsake us. And this is quoted many times in Scripture. Firstly, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, the Lord says, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid or terrified because of them. And that them could be anything that's coming up against us, or could be the enemy, and or could be people that they were fighting against in war or whatever. It says, but the Lord says, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And we see Joshua 1:5, that same verse is quoted, and it's referred back to in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 as well. And this, I think, has possibly been your experience.
Mark, absolutely. You know, I firmly believe that sometimes we focus too much on the problems, you know, and what's happening today. And the Lord tells us very clearly, don't worry.
Don't worry about the issues.
Don't worry about the issues of today. you know, what if just turn your eyes towards Jesus? Mm-hmm. And there's a lovely hymn, you know, turn your eyes towards Jesus and the problems of the earth will glow dim in your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
If you focus on Jesus, these things just transform for you. Mm-hmm. But you cannot do it for a short patch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-term thing. It's not a short-term fix.
I remember once hearing a sermon that was titled, Christianity is Not a Bed of Roses. And I could hear where the preacher was coming from.
Yeah.
And I agreed with all that he said, that we face trials, we face tribulations, we face challenges every day. But me being me, I went home, thought about it a lot, and when I had opportunity to preach sometime later, I actually preached, Christianity is a bed of roses. And Arvin, have you ever fallen into a bed of roses? Then you suddenly discover that it's 95% prickle, hurt, upset, and whatever, and only a little bit of fragrance in that tends to come about. And I think this is it, that we oftentimes face these difficulties and we say, why is this happening to me? What's happening to me? But we don't realize that we need to keep our eyes focused and fixed upon the Lord. Arvin, from what you told me in your former years before you came into knowledge of Christ as Savior, you were in the church. You've always been in the church. That's been your testimony.
Yeah, Mark, I was kind of blessed, you know, and I say blessed in inverted commas is our parents kind of took us to church, made sure we went to church every week. But what was missing was the relationship with God. And it took me a good, I think, 38 years to finally realize that there's more to going to church. Church is just one portion of it. But to finally build a relationship with Him just flips it on its head, basically. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of go, attending church is great. It's good. You get to meet a lot of people.
Yes.
But the moment you kind of have that connection, and I heard a saying literally a week ago, is when you meet God, when you finally get to meet Him, mm-hmm. that's when change starts to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just going to church and being a, for the better one of a word, a legalistic follower. You know, I go to church and I do what God says I should do. No, I think we're called to actually have that personal relationship, and that's when change happens. Mm-hmm.
As a youngster, you said that you weren't a smoker, but you were, I think, as most folk in your situation, used to drink quite a bit or whatever.
Yeah, the smoking part, it's quite a bit of irony and a bit of funniness, too, if I can put it like that. I can't remember how old I was. I must have been 3-4 years old, and I had a grandmother that smoked, and she lived with us. My mother smoked. They were chain smokers. I hated the smell of it. I hated the look of it. I've never touched a cigarette. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid of an inability to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been blessed in that format that from a very young age, I actually remember at school, at primary school, they came and they showed us a bottle and put cigarettes in it and this black gunk came inside it.
Mm-hmm.
So from 3-4 years old, I just had decided that smoking wasn't for me. The drinking side, unfortunately, I never got a picture that was bad, you know. Mm-hmm. My father did drink. He used to drink every night. But he was never abusive of anything like it. He had his beers and he went to bed and slept. And obviously, not obviously, but I ended up saying, well, there's nothing wrong with drink.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a drinker at home. You know, I'm not the kind of guy who would have gone home and opened up a beer after work. But put me at a bra, put me at a night out, I would try and empty the bar.
So social gathering, that was your opportunity.
Well, it was competition for me. And, mm-hmm. and I, you know, although I'm saying it with a smile on my face, it wasn't good at the time, and mm-hmm. it still isn't good. But to put it mildly, I really did drink excessively on a binge basis. So whenever mm-hmm. I was out, I would really go to the excess.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, that is the story of many, many people's lives that we find in life today. And before we carry on, Arvin, I'd just like to actually remind the listeners that if you do have a query or question that you'd like to ask, you can phone through on the telephone number 032-5333-003. I'll say that again, 032-5333-003, or you can send a WhatsApp or SMS through to 082-789-5973. Sorry, Ivan, I sort of interrupted the whole train of thought there with that, but it was important to actually give the listeners those numbers. So smoking was never, ever an issue with you. I suppose that saved you as well from becoming involved with a lot of smoke-related or inhalant-type drugs.
Absolutely, Mark. You know, the crowd I was involved with as a youngster was... you know, we had my sporting crowd of friends who were non-smokers, but some of them would have had tried smoking at some point. But I was exposed to quite a lot of dacha and the sorts growing up. But being a person, and that's why I say I have an inability to smoke, you know, I was so disgusted by it as a young child that some kind of gag reflex or whatever you want to call it. And I'm grateful for that because it's, you know, my personality might have tried it. And if I tried it, I might have got hooked.
That's right.
So by the grace of God or whatever it might have been, I'd like to accept this grace of God. I never tried smoking and it saved me from being tempted by that, even though I've been in environments as a youngster where 10, 15, 20 people around me were all engaging in it.
But then the binge drinking, that was something that was part and parcel of your life, as we've mentioned, part and parcel of many youngsters' lives and actually older people's lives still, unfortunately, today. When did this binge drinking stop?
Mark, it stopped probably about 10 years ago. You know, the sad reality is a lot of my friends who I've known for many years will still tell you great stories about the things I did when I was 15, 20 beers in or whatever it was. But it stopped about 10 years ago.
Okay. So, and what was that? Was it possibly a change in relationship in your church life or it's...
Yeah, you know, I was drawing closer to God at that point. It was about 2 years before I finally gave my life to the Lord. But I think the Lord was kind of reeling me in like a good fish. You know, if you catch a big fish, you don't just try and reel him and he'll break your line. And God was kind of playing with me at that time, pulling me closer and closer to him. What had happened in my life is I realized there were some decisions I'd made consistently which were good. And I'd made some decisions on a consistent basis which weren't good. And the binge drinking was really just one of those that wasn't good. You know, I always kind of hid behind the secret that, well, the saying that I wasn't an alcoholic. You know, an alcoholic needs to do this every day and he needs to get drunk every day. I only need to do it when I go out and I do it because it's a good time. But when you do it, there is still some poor behaviors and poor results that come out of it, which... It's not what God wants in our lives.
Exactly. And I think we've covered that in many, many programs in the past, the dangers and the problems that causes not only to a person individually, but to those round about them. So now, Alvin, coming to the crux of the whole matter here. The wheels have fallen off to an extent in your own life now. The natural reaction for many, many people would be there, that's it. The wheels have fallen off. I'm going to go drown my sorrows in the pub, or you go and you empty the bottle stall out of all the stock that they've got, and you go and sit in your room or your house or in a corner somewhere, and you drink yourself into a stupor to get rid of the whole concept. Why not,
Mark? 15 years ago, I would have told you it's a fantastic idea. Being a wise person today. It's not a good idea. You know, everything we do has consequences attached to it. I think my circle of friends and my circle of influence around me is also very different to the circle of influence I had back then. But it goes back to what I was saying earlier about these decisions you make. Andy Stanley is an author that I follow, and he uses a great example. You know, he talks about brushing your teeth. And he says, it's a very simple decision. You know, you can decide to do it or decide not to do it, but there's consequences on both sides. The one consequence is you decide to do it and you get good teeth. And the other side, you decide not to do it and you suddenly end up with teeth that aren't that good. I've been tempted. I'm not going to sit and lie to you and say, listen, yeah, you know, maybe I should just go and drink and have a good night like I used to have. But you wake up tomorrow morning, it hasn't taken away the problems. It's actually... emptied your wallet of a bit of cash, which right now is a very necessary thing. I believe that God stewards us with money, so we got to take this money and say, what's the best thing to do with this? And I don't think there's any person who can tell me that God says go and buy yourself a case of beer and have a good time. It's just never a good idea. So why not go and drink? It's just not the right choice. It's mm-hmm. not the godly choice. And I'm yet to meet anybody that gets good results mm-hmm. out of going and having a binge drink.
I think, Ivan, you've hit the nail on the head there. It's the wrong choice. And when you say there, especially being unemployed, finances is always a critical issue in that type of situation. And that just actually compounds the issue. Because yep. the little that you might have or whatever has now been blown away. And also the thing there is what a lot of people tend to forget is that when you actually sober up eventually from that situation, you don't feel good. You don't oftentimes look good. And when you do sober up, the problem is still there.
Yeah.
And it hasn't disappeared. And that's, I think, the mistake that many, many people make is they think, well, I'll just go and I'll just drink this problem away. But it doesn't, alcohol doesn't flush the problem away like we flush a toilet, as it
were. Not at all. So, Mark, there's two things. Mm. Is A, number one, you're not taking the problem away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The problem's still there when you wake up in the morning. And I think you've just hit the nail on the head as well. The second part is you've added the problem by taking the little finance you have and draining that away as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I said it a couple of moments ago, there's nothing good that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
If I have 300 grand in my wallet, what would I rather do with it? Would I rather go and spend it on drink? Or can I invest this and go and do something better with it? Because currently I'm not employed. So mm-hmm. do I go buy a case of Coke and stand and go and sell Cokes in the corner and make an extra 100 grand or whatever mm-hmm. it is? That's a better choice.
Mm-hmm.
But no, to go and waste it on drink is never a good thing.
I think that's absolutely true and vital, which makes me think of that scripture in Ephesians 5:18, where Paul writes and he gives instruction to the people, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. And this is written in context to people who had once lived in darkness,
yep.
but were now living in the light.
Amen.
And yeah. I think this is good instruction to all believers, remembering that we are an example to others, and especially there, and as it is in your situation where you're facing difficult challenges there, the way not to meet these challenges is through alcohol or drugs. And after the music break, we'll talk about what is the right thing to do. Welcome back to the second half of our session with myself, Mike Harty, and in studio with me is Ivan, who's been sharing the situation where facing difficulties and issues in life, turning to the bottle or turning to drugs is definitely the wrong choice, the wrong option. If you have a comment or a query that you'd like to make, please give us a call on the live line 032-5333-003. I'll say it again, 032-5333-003. Or you can send a WhatsApp or SMS comment or query through to 082-789-5973. Ivan, we finished off the first half there stating categorically that certainly turning to alcohol and drugs to try and get rid of the problem is not going to solve the problem, not going to solve the issue.
That's right, yeah.
So it's a case of we have to face reality. How do we face the reality of these difficult circumstances that many people actually find themselves in, sometimes voluntary, sometimes involuntary, but the challenges that we face day by day?
Mark, I think the important part is, first of all, understanding your responsibility to your immediate surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're making choices not only for yourself. In my case, I currently have a wife. I've got two children. And I've got other people around me who I'm accountable to.
Yes.
And making poor decisions affects them as well. You know, mm-hmm. it really has an impact on their lives. It has an impact on my ability to be able to serve them. And to be a good father and all the other services I need to be countering in the house. So understand your why is the first law. The second part is making sure you're looking forward down the road and saying, where do I want to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do I want to be in the same situation a year from now? Or do I want my situation to be different?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do I get there? Well, it's about then making some decisions that are very different to decisions you made in the past.
Okay, so it comes back to that old adage there, if I keep on doing the same things, I cannot expect a different result at the end. So in your situation now, unemployed, facing other personal challenges and all that, who do you turn to? What do you do? How do you cope in this situation?
The very first person I turn to is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no better wisdom than the Bible and by listening to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is cornerstone for anything in life. So first place I go to is the Bible, prayer, on my knees, and listening to the Holy Spirit for his input. You can't get better guidance than from God.
I think that's the first point of call that anybody should make in that type of situation. Is it's all very well having folk around about you that you can call upon, and there is an importance in that, and we can talk about that.
Correct.
But our first call should be to the Lord in this situation.
Absolutely. Once you start reading the Bible and once you start speaking to God, he guides you in the right places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're called in the Bible to fellowship and church and stuff like that. And I think that's mostly what you're asking, what's the next step?
Mm-hmm.
The next step is making sure the people you have around you are the good influences in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to be stuck in that same circle that tempts you. So for me, it was on a Wednesday night, the group of friends would phone me and say, you know, let's go out. You know, there's a special at the nightclub, 2-for-1. You know,
yes.
It's very easy. You know, I used to say I had a rubber arm. You know, all you'd need was a phone call.
Mm.
You want to avoid those phone calls.
Yes.
You know, there's a lovely book by Henry Cloud. It talks about nest re-endings. You know, and you've got to decide, even though some of these friends I've been friends with for my entire life at that point, you know, basically, I had to end those relationships because they weren't healthy for me and they were surely not going to be healthy for my family. So first and foremost, turning to God, turning to the Bible.
Mm.
Second point is making sure you circle the right people, and the right place to find those people is at church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generally, let's say everybody goes to church as a sinner. We all know we're all sinners.
Mm.
A lot of people who go to church are broken as well, and they really have challenges they need to fix, and they're not perfect. But you know what? Most people who go to church will be a better bet than a person who's not at church. Mm.
I think, yeah, whilst you're speaking there, it reminds me of that proverb, Proverbs 18, I think it's verse 24. It says, one who has unreliable friends will soon come to ruin.
Absolutely.
but, it carries on, it says, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Absolutely. You know, Mark, as you know me, I'm part of a men's group, mm-hmm. and you know, there's most probably easy 20, 30 of us in that group. And each one of us, we refer to one of those as brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, any one of those guys, doesn't matter what my situation is, good or bad, if a good thing happens, we celebrate like brothers. Mm-hmm. If I'm going through a tough time like I am at the moment, those are the guys that phone me when I'm down. Those are the guys that lift me up. But you know what? They hold me accountable.
Yes.
So if I've done nothing in the week to try and find employment, they're the first ones to look me squarely in the eyes and say, Ivan, you're not doing what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of circle you want around you. Not the circle that says, don't worry, you'll have a better week next week, let's go have a drink.
No. And I think it's a situation there where it's good and it's important. And I think this is good for the listeners to actually absorb the truth of the fact that in these type of situations and in life in general, you need to have a group of people around about you that you can trust, that you can have confidence in, and that you know will hold that confidence as well. They're not going to just go and gossip the whole situation to all and sundry once you've actually shared with them and sought counsel from them.
Absolutely, absolutely. The passage you read a couple of moments ago is true to the point. Is you need to be very careful about who you're pulling close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're unsure about who those people are, you know, then you go to the church elders and you say, guys, this is what I'm going through. Who are the right people? At my church, I'm involved in the ministry of people who find themselves in my situation of becoming unemployed. I was doing this ministry before I lost my job, you know. So what better way for me to kind of experience the ministry I'm actually in than to be unemployed myself.
So what you're saying, Ivan, there, it's not just good enough going to church and attending church. A person should be active in their local church.
Mark, I firmly believe you need to be active, which means drawn to people. Don't go then sit in the back row and sneak out the moment the service finished. Find people, become part of a small group. But I firmly also believe go a step further. Serve. You know, if you're not sure of what you can do, at our church we have people that direct you to a parking spot. We have people that greet you at the front door. None of those actually need wonderful skills. You can pour tea and coffee. Once again, you don't need technical skills in that. You don't need to know your Bible back to front. There's many ways to serve. And once you're serving, you are worshiping the Lord in a very different way. And you're drawing closer to God. The closer you draw to God, the less relevant your binge drinking becomes. I can't really comment on drugs and stuff like that, but I'm very sure it's the same. That the closer you draw to God, those things become less and less relevant.
That's right. I think the important thing there is going to church and not... A lot of people think, well, there's a minister or a pastor, the preacher, he's the one who's doing the job, and I'm there just to receive. Whereas my thought and philosophy is I go to church to give. Not only to give God my worship, but how can I serve God in the church? And as you've mentioned, sometimes it's very mundane, but very necessary tasks that somebody has to do. Why can we not just get involved and do it? And as you say, that it builds that relationship not only with the other believers in the church, but it builds your own character, it builds your own faith, so that when challenges arise that need attention and are serious challenges, such in your own life now, you're more able to cope.
Mark, I can't remember if you commented about it or somebody else, you know, that the more challenging life has come for me, the more I'm pushing forward to serve, you know. And I just believe, I mean, we know in the Bible God talks about tithing, and the more you give, the more you receive. I think serving is exactly the same. The more I serve, the more I receive. And whether I'm standing in the front of the at the entrance shaking hands as people come in, or whether I'm involved in kids ministry or parking, wherever it is I choose to serve, I receive more than I'm serving. And it's just it's a way of really just pushing in, and it's a different form of worship altogether.
And I think sometimes we don't realize the influence we possibly have on others in that. And we mentioned earlier about setting an example.
Absolutely.
What a bad example it is if people around about me see, oh, that person's got a problem, he's got an issue in his life, and he's just trying to drink it away. Whereas this person's got a problem, he's got an issue in his life, but he's still actively serving God. That I think that is a prime example of testimony of God's grace in an individual's life.
Mark, I'll share a story, and it's about myself, and it's not to put me out there, but I want to glorify God with this, because it happened not even a year after I was saved. I was in business, and I made a decision to close the division down. It happened to be the division I was leading. And I was quite good friends with the director who I reported into, and his first comment to me was, "Your suggestion is putting you out of a job." And I said to him, "Well, from a business perspective, I need to make the right call. My integrity has to be higher." We were served with notices of potential retrenchment, and out of the three of us who were served, the two other guys didn't respond very well, but something in my spirit just said to me, God is going to deliver. You know, in Jeremiah 29, it talks about plans for prospering and stuff like that. And I really, really, my soul felt it. My boss is also in our church. He's a deacon in our church. And he called me in a couple of weeks later, and he said to you, know, he just wanted to give me credit that I was walking around like a light. You know, we're called to be a light. Mm-hmm. And he said, I was filled with joy in a situation where I should be. And I said to him, it's not me. It's the Spirit of God has placed that in me, that I just know in my spirit that He has a plan. And God always has that for us. He has a plan for us, and we don't see it at the time. At that point, I saw it. Sometimes when currently in my situation, I kind of go, God, is there really a plan in this? I have to believe that there is a plan, and I know it will come to fruition.
So you're not from what I'm hearing you saying, Ivan, you've got no anger towards God. You're not saying, "Oh Lord, what do you think you're doing? Why am I in this situation?" I mean, it's oftentimes we can question God, but do you feel any anger towards God for putting you in the situation where you're in now?
So, Mike, David often in Psalms starts a psalm of complaining to God and in anger, and then he finds where God is and he comes out of it. So there's been times when I've kind of questioned God and saying, yes, where are you in this? You know, haven't paid my rent last month. I had to make a phone call to the owner of the property, and it's a very uncomfortable. So God, where are you in this? But as you are having that discussion with him, as long as you're having a discussion with him about that and arguing with him, and I'm not arguing with you about God, it's a very different situation. When I'm complaining to you about God, that's a problem. But when I'm saying to God, I'm asking God, where are you? He then answers me. He says, I am there. I'm not leaving you. I'm not forsaking you. There's a plan in this. And you won't know it now. So your question is, am I angry at God? No, I'm not angry at God, but there are times when I do get angry. You know, when I have to say no to my children for something that they would have had a couple of months ago. When I get phone calls today, 4 phone calls in a row, you know, that the debit order's all bouncing. So, yeah, I do get angry. But I've got to still have faith and believe. And I do have that faith and believe that. And I said earlier in the program, my eyes are not set on what's happening this month. My eyes are set on eternity. You know, and I'm looking down the road. Where do I want to be 1 year, 5 years from now? What do I need to do in this life to make sure that eternity is served well? So the way I act now affects what's going to happen in eternity.
Yes. I think that's vitally important. And many times it's a situation where hindsight, as they say, is the perfect science. In possibly a couple of years down the road, you'll be able to see, well, that was God's plan for me.
Correct.
And I think that's the right attitude to have. I think of many of the disciples that actually served the Lord Jesus. We think of the hardships that they experienced. Paul, for example, he was shipwrecked a number of times. He was beaten. He was thrown into prison, all that. And yet here was a man who was serving God and wanted to serve God. And yet he suffered all these hardships. And yet through it all, he never gave up on his faith.
Mark, the disciples saw going through hardship as a good thing. You know, to them it was a great way to kind of be honored. You know, I've got a friend and like myself, he's fallen some tough times relationally and the things to that line. And I was asking God, what do I say to this guy? You know, I've got my faith to hold on to. His faith is slightly different to mine. How do I help him through this process? And I asked him a simple question a couple of nights ago. I said to him, if you know that 6 months or a year from now, your life is going to be in a good place, and these problems that you have today will be solved and they'll be gone, would it make you feel better? He says it would. But he wants to know now what's going to be in place in 6 or 12 months' time. I said, well, God knows that. God's got that in his hands.
Yes.
And if you believe that, okay, you're able to walk a much better path and journey today. It's when you doubt that, that it becomes a problem. Because when you doubt it, that's when you start stressing and worrying, and your relationship with God kind of takes a road to the south.
It's like I've often said, I tend to be quite a bit of an impatient type person. I've often prayed a prayer along the lines of, Lord, please grant me patience, but hurry. You know,
We want it in human time.
Yeah.
So and human time with everything, especially in today's life and times, everything has instant gratification. So, and ironically enough, the same chapter I'm talking about is saying God hasn't answered my prayers. I'm going, when did you pray about it? No, I prayed the other night. I'm going, you know what? You don't dictate.
Yes.
You ask, you will receive.
Yes.
But God knows better than you. He knows exactly when to deliver it.
And God's ways are not our ways.
Correct.
And I think sometimes we, in the challenges that we face and in the dilemma that we often see ourselves in, we tend to forget that.
Mark, the way I always look at it, if you have a specialist who is the best at everything, would you rather have him make the decision on when you get something and how you get it and what you get, or would you want to rather make the decision knowing that you're not the specialist? I rely on my specialist.
The person who has all authority and all experience in that type of situation. And who more so than the Creator God, the one who actually made us and formed us. And I take great comfort and consolation in the fact that when I face challenges and issues, is that the Lord tells me in His Word that even before I was formed in my mother's womb, He knew me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's it. And I take consolation in that. And I realize that, Lord, even though this is an issue that I might be facing now, this might be a struggle that I'm going through at the present time, You know it. Nothing is beyond You. And I think that's important for our listeners to actually apprehend and take to heart. And that's what I hear coming from what you're saying, Ivan, is that the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my sustainer, and I will trust in Him.
I can't remember who it was that said it. It might have been Rick Warren. He said, you know what, the person who knows how to handle something the best is the person who creates it.
Mm-hmm.
And if God created us, well, he's the person who knows the best how to deal us and mm-hmm. how to make things for us. So I think you've said it already. The Creator is the one who we go to.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's a situation that we need to realize today, as we've mentioned before, that just fellowship and being in a church isn't sufficient. We need to be committed. We need to be involved. We need to be serving. And that's so that when adverse situations come into our lives, I think we're more capable and able and more willing to be able to share with others and then cope in that situation. It gives us the opportunity also to call on those who we trust in the Christian church to help counsel, pray, and walk with us through the situation. There's a scripture that I'd like to read here. It's Hebrews 10. 23 to 25, and I ask the listeners to take this to heart. It says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching." And I think that is something that we need to actually take to heart. And I believe it's something that you personally have taken to heart. For us, hearing your testimony here of problems, issues, don't drink and drug it away, turn to God.
And the one word that stands out there for me is, you know, encouraging one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't find friends who are going to encourage you to do the wrong stuff. Find friends who are going to encourage you and a support group that will encourage you to do what you want to do. And if you want to come right with God, then find friends who will encourage you to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think, listeners, as we've heard Ivan sharing and as we've spoken here, I'm sure you realize that we all face challenges. We all have issues in life that we need to face. And I would encourage you, face them the way Ivan has faced his. Don't go binge drinking. Don't try and flush it away with alcohol. Don't drug yourself out of your mind, because certainly the problem will still be there. But rather seek the Lord. Ask the Lord, what are you teaching me in this situation? What can I do to help myself under the leadership of your Spirit in this situation so that I might continue to endeavor to glorify your name? I think that is the way forward.
Absolutely.
Any closing comments or thoughts you'd like to leave with the listeners, Ivan?
Mark, I think my closing thoughts would be quite simple. Mm. You know, you are stuck in a way which is not healthy, it's not good, it's not godly. If you want to make the choice of going the right way, just make sure you're putting the right mechanisms around you and pushing into Him and as well as His church to get you through it.
Mm. I trust, listeners, that this conversation has been encouraging to you. God bless you and goodbye.